Earlier this fall, a man by the name of Stu Reininger was crammed onto a subway in New York, which was headed out to the suburbs. And as he was packed in the back of this subway car, whap, he got hit in the head with a newspaper. This car was so crowded that the guy behind him had whacked him with a newspaper. Stu was not having a good day. Stu had been looking for work, work that would fit what he really wanted to do, what he really needed in his life. His passions were boating and sailing and writing. And he was looking for a job that would fill those needs. He was a single dad, had a teenage daughter, I think she was a junior in high school, and he wanted to be able to provide for her, but he wasn't being able to do it on the few writing jobs, the few gigs that he could get, the few things that he could put together, and the few sailing classes that he could teach and the things that he was doing. Whack! Again, he gets hit with this newspaper. And he's crammed in this car, can't even hardly turn around. And he turned within and he thought. And he thought about all of the calamity that had come to him in the recent past. In fact, even that very day, he had been on an interview. And in this interview, he was 10 minutes into it, and the hiring manager looked at him and said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but we just don't have a fit. You don't have what we're looking for in this position. We're wasting each other's time. Good luck in finding employment somewhere else." He relayed that information to his daughter, and she said, "Dad, keep the faith. Keep the faith and hang in there." And he was thinking of that, and whack, he gets whapped with his newspaper again. And about this time, he's had it. And he decided he's going to turn around and say something to this guy, and he kind of turns around, and the guy behind him was a tall man, much taller than he, and every time he opened his newspaper to change the page, he'd whack him with his newspaper. So he turned around and he looked, and right in front of him was a want ad. He was looking at the New York Times want ads, and the want ad said, "Help wanted, technical assistant editor for boating magazine. Must have experience in writing and in boating." Well, he couldn't even get his pen out to write this. He was so crowded in this room and his car, but he remembered the post office box. And all the way home, he's reciting the four digits of this post office box so he doesn't forget it. As soon as he got in the door, first he ran over and he wrote down these four digits to this post office box. His daughter says, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, it's a long story, but I'm going to send a resume." And she says, "Well, great." So he boxed up his resume and put it all together and off it went to this P.O. box. And then he pretty much forgot about it. Well, about a week later, he got a phone call. And it was from the editor of Boating Magazine, the largest magazine in the United States for recreational boating. And they wanted to interview him for their position as a technical editor. He was a sailing guy, and they were kind of looking for a motor guy. But he knew enough to get by, and he did have writing skills. He must have done well in that initial interview because they called him back for a second interview. And at the end of the second interview, they offered him a position. And the position that he accepted would mean that he had a compensation package that would meet all of his needs. He would be able to, afford his daughter's college education. He would be able to do the things that he wanted to do. He'd be able to be on the water almost every day. He'd be able to write. He'd have all the free time that he wanted to for writing. And most importantly, he'd be able to be home every night to have dinner with his daughter. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for all coming out today. Beautiful Alaskan day. I want to welcome everyone. what a wonderful day it is. And I do want to follow on Christina and thank all of those who helped clean up. What an experience it was to come together and everybody and work to help clean up. What we're trying to do here, I mean, we're the host for the Interfaith Council, and it's just like if somebody's coming into your house, you want to clean up and make things a little bit better. And all of the people that came forward, and some that didn't stand, Juan, you're back there, you didn't stand. A lot of people that came and worked didn't even bother to stand. And a lot of people had other things going at the time, but they did their service before. So I just want to thank everybody that's been involved and helped cleaning up the place and getting ready for the Thank God Dinner and for the Interfaith Council. My colleagues, contemporaries throughout the country, many of them today are giving talks about the election. My talk today is about the election. But the previous 2 weeks, I hope that I've given you the seeds of how to look at this election and how to handle this. At our center, we do not tell you what to think. The best we can strive for, the most we hope for, is to maybe teach you how to think. And in the last few weeks, I hope I've given you a foundation so that you can look at the things today that I have to say and form your own opinion, your own reaction to this election. The title of my talk today is The Stranger on the Train. Whack. The three major points that I'm going to cover today are: one, our individual expressions of the one are diverse. Number two, our uniqueness brings value to the whole. And number three, we can be willing to let go and forgive. First, our individual expressions of the one are diverse. We are like the snowflakes. No two are alike. No two people are ever alike. We are all diverse from one another. And it is by honoring that diversity and being inclusive that we can truly experience unity and wholeness. So there's two terms that I'd like to define. They're sort of in my own way, but to define these two terms. The first is diversity. Diversity acknowledges the variety of characteristics and categories of identity that make individuals unique. Diversity recognizes the uniqueness of individuals, populations, groups, and their experiences. It includes things like gender, sexual orientation, age, all of the demographics that go into classifying people and making them different from one another is diversity. The second thing is inclusivity. And inclusivity is the conscious decision to create a nurturing climate where similarities and differences are respected and supported by ensuring the active participation of the entire community. And that's what we're doing here in this community at this time, with things like the centering prayer that we do every week, with doing things like the Thank God Dinner. And I think what an honor it is for us to have been selected as the host for the Interfaith Thanksgiving Dinner. And I really hope to see all of you at the Interfaith Thanksgiving Gathering. We are inclusive. We honor all faiths, all lifestyles, all traditions. Earlier this fall, a young man took a picture of a young lady who was in line at the bookstore, I believe it's Ohio State University, and he posted it at the humor section on Reddit. And this posting drew numerous derogatory comments, laughing, and whatnot. For you see, the subject of this photograph was a young, sick girl. And I had always called it Sikh, S-I-K-H, the religion, Sikhism. I listened to this. I listened to her video. I talked about the whole thing, and she pronounces it Sikh, so I'm going to call it Sikh. She is a young Sikh girl. She was baptized Sikh, and the object of her scorn, the reason that she was scorned, is that she has facial hair. She has mustache and a beard. When he posted this, the author of this wrote, "I'm not sure what to conclude from this." Well, after a friend had told the young lady, her name was Balpreet Kaur, after had told Balpreet about this, she went online and saw it, and she saw the comments and everything, and so she went on, and this is what she wrote. "Hey guys, this is Balpreet Kaur, the girl from the picture. I'm not embarrassed or even humiliated by the attention, negative and positive, that this picture is getting, because it's who I am. As a baptized Sikh woman, I am forbidden from altering my body as it is considered a sacred gift from God. The overarching principle is this body is a tool for service. We have to maintain and take care of it while cherishing its original form. That means that going to the hospital and taking medicine is fine because one should be healthy in order to be of service to others. But cutting one's hair or removing one's facial hair is forbidden, even if societal norms dictate otherwise. My hair doesn't stop me from being normal or doing service, so it's not a hindrance. I've been to the doctor regarding this, and it's just a side effect of my hormone levels during my teenage years. The hormones return to normal, but the hair is still there, and that's fine. Smiley face. I don't regret anything, nor do I view it as an unfortunate thing. Yes, I'm a baptized Sikh woman with facial hair. Yes, I realize that my gender is often confused and I look different than most women. My attitude and thoughts and actions have more value in them than my body." Again, I want to repeat that. "My attitude and thoughts and actions have more value in them than my body. By not focusing on the physical beauty, I have time to cultivate those inner virtues and hopefully focus my life on creating change and progress for this world in any way I can." Her words quickly inspired the readers of Reddit, and it was transferred over to Facebook. And within a few days, she had 6,750 likes and more than 850 comments. But the key was, a few days later, the original Reddit user who posted that posted again. And this is what he said. "I felt the need to apologize to the Sikhs, to Balpreet, and anyone else I offended when I posted that picture. Put simply, it was stupid. Making fun of people is funny to some, but incredibly degrading to the people you're making fun of. It was an incredibly rude, judgmental, and ignorant thing to post. I've read more about Sikh faith, and it's actually very interesting. It makes a whole lot of sense to work on having a legacy and not worrying about what you look like. I made that post for stupid internet points, and I was ignorant. Balpreet, I am sorry for being a closed-minded individual. You are a much better person than I am. Six, I'm sorry for insulting your culture and way of life. Balpreet's faith in what she believes is astounding." We are all individualized expressions of the One. And by honoring our diversity and being inclusive, we can truly experience unity and wholeness. Point number two, our uniqueness brings value to the whole. There is an old fable, it's from India. It's the story of a young woman. She's a water bearer for her mistress, and every morning she has two large jugs. They're each attached to a long pole, which she carries over her neck, and she carries them down to the river. She fills them with water and then carries them home. One of the jugs is perfect, and she fills it with water, and it holds the water all the way home. The other jug has a crack in it, and it drips water out all the way back, so that by the time she gets back to her mistress's house, it's only half full. Well, she had done this for 2 years, and one day, as she filled the jugs down at the river, the jug that had the crack in it apologized. It said, "I am so sorry, I am ashamed, and I apologize." And she said, "Well, what for?" And he said, "Because I have a crack, and you don't get the full measure of water. You get back and you only have half, and I leak out half every day when you do this." And she said, "Have you ever noticed the beautiful flowers on our way?" And the jugs thought, "No." But as she filled the jugs and headed back home, the jug noticed the beautiful flowers all along the way. And it made the jug feel better until they got home. And there the other jug was perfect and whole and complete and full of water. And he was only half full. And once again, he says, "I am so sorry. I apologize." She said, "Did you notice that there were only flowers on one side of the trail back?" "Well, no, I didn't." And she said, "I was fully aware that you had a crack and you were leaking water. So I gathered some seeds and I planted flower seeds. And every day as we came back, you watered those flowers. You created those flowers to bloom. And now I go back every day and cut flowers. And so my mistress has beautiful flowers to make her feel better, to make her house more beautiful. And it's all because of you." You see, this story has a moral. And the moral of the story is that each of us have our own unique flaws. We are all cracked pots. Now, that's supposed to be serious. Of course, the next time Mrs. Fleming calls me a crackpot, I'm going to take it as a compliment. But our uniqueness adds value to the whole. I'll go back to the sacred reading. Quote from Ernest Holmes: "The answer to every question is within man, because man is within spirit, and spirit is an individual whole." Spirit, God, is perfect, and we are part of that. And even though we may be a cracked pot, we still add value to the whole. My third point is we can be willing to let go and forgive. I believe that forgiveness is the highest form of self-love. And I'll have one last story. And this is a story of a pilot. He hadn't been able to fly all winter. He had an old classic airplane, the kind that had the stick instead of a wheel. And he was all excited. It was, you know, going to be great. He was going to be able to go out and fly his plane for the first time in the year. And so he got it. He had the engine checked. And boy, the engine was perfect. It was purring along. Everything was fine. And he took off, perfect takeoff. And he started to fly. But as he got higher and higher, the plane started to vibrate. And it was shaking. And he knew something was drastically wrong. And he thought, "What can I do?" He didn't think they could even take the chance to try and land and to land. And he thought, "Well, what can I do?" And the thought came to him that something was messing with the controls. Something was fouling his controls, the control cables that went to the rudders and the flaps. And as he thought what he might do, what came into his head, he needed to climb. And so he went in, he pulled the stick full back, and he went into the steepest climb that could go. In fact, he even started getting dizzy. As he went into this climb, he climbed higher and higher and higher. And then it evened out and the shaking stopped. And he was able to coast and go down. He was able to land safely. And as soon as he landed, he got out of the plane and he went back to the back of the plane. And he took off the panel in the back and looked in, and there were three dead rats. And they had been back there chewing on the control cables. And his steep climb had deprived them of oxygen and had killed the rats. Now, the moral of this story is, if you want the rats to stop chewing on your control cables, you've got to learn to climb higher. Told you this had to do with the election. It's important that we learn to forgive and forget. For when we carry around grudges, when we carry around animosity and hate, we are the ones that suffer. The rats of animosity and hate and judgment will eat our control cables. So each week I give you something to take away. The thing, the overarching point that I want you to remember each week. This week, the conclusion is that sometimes the universe is whapping us in the head, trying to get our attention. We can profit greatly if we simply turn around, honor our diversity, embrace our uniqueness, and let go and forgive. And so with that idea, the concept of forgiveness, of embracing our diversity and our uniqueness, I'll ask my colleagues of practitioners to join me in holding the congregation in love and light, and simply knowing the truth that as we live and move and have our being on this earthly plane, that there is a higher power. There is a power in the universe. And that power is with us at every moment if we will only turn around and read the fine print. We will only recognize that power within our lives. There is nothing outside of the ability of that power to provide for us. There is no condition, whether it be health, whether it be abundance and prosperity and money, whether it be love, relationships. These are all within the power of the creative force of the universe. And that creative force is there to support us as the highest expression of it can in any moment. And so I speak my word now for anyone who is facing the appearance of a challenge, the appearance of separation. I just simply know for them that we are one. We are unique, but we are one. And that we are stronger in our diversity. And that as we step away from judgment, we step away from criticism and anger, and we embrace our oneness, that all of the good of the heavens descends unto us, that we no longer have to manage every facet of our lives. And so I just give thanks now. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God within my life, within the life of each and every person in this room, within the life of each and every person on this planet, and every sentient being. I give thanks for my awareness of that power and that presence. And so I release these words to the working of law, knowing that they must return fulfilled and complete. We are each perfect, whole, and complete here and now. And so it is.